Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at my bookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, mybookie. Mybookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code Zabe, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code Zabe to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag. This is the Zabecast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go! Here we go!
So, kids, you wouldn't believe it, but I found the wallet. Oh, hallelujah. No, wait, I didn't find the wallet. Somebody found the wallet for me, turned it into the pro shop at the golf course where I last kind of thought I might have had it. Oh, man. I think I put it down on a counter in the pro shop, or I might have had it fall out of my stupid shorts climbing out of the car. But it was one of those sensations where, you know, when you're looking for something, whether it's your keys, your wallet, your cell phone, oh, that's a good poll. What's the worst thing to lose? Keys, wallet, or cell phone? They're all different types of stress and different types of hassle and different levels of, well, do you think you'll get them back? I mean, keys might be the least impactful. No, because then you're stuck. If you really lose your keys, then you can't drive home. Now it's a huge pain in the ass. Got to get a ride from somebody, get an Uber, get a spare set of keys, come back, could have your house key, could have a work key on it, could have a key to your shed, your snowmobile, who the fuck knows? Anyway, so there's this feeling when you're looking for something, right? And you're checking all the places you think it might be. And as you check every one, you get the feeling of a baseball team in a elimination game, a World Series game, and you're running out of outs. And you're running out of hitters. And every place you check, it's like, and there's a ground out to short. That was our best hitter. Fuck. Now what are we going to do? And you start running out of outs till you're down to the final out. I feel like I was down to my final out this morning going to the golf shop at the little 9-hole golf course here in Tahoe City. And as I walked in, I kind of tried to steel myself for a blank stare and a no, we haven't seen any wallet here. There's a guy behind the counter, another guy standing in there that worked there, probably the superintendent, and they're just shooting the shit. And I walk up and I go, you wouldn't have happened to have had a wallet turned in, would you? And the guy says to me, can you describe it? What's your name? And I thought, okay, I don't see him producing the wallet right now, so I don't want to get my hopes up. I told him who I was. I told him what it was. And he's looking at me. He's looking down behind the counter where I can't see whether the wallet is actually there. And I said, Steve Zabin. And he's like, Steven Patrick. And I go, that's it. And I start blurting out my home address. I swear it's me. You know, here's the address. And then he picks the wallet up and he holds it in front of me. And let me tell you, the adrenaline rush that I had in that moment, you have no idea that feeling. They need to make a drug out of that. Hey, dude, it's cocaine. Okay, well, whatever. It was such an elation. And I'm just like, thank you, God. Not that it would have been a total disaster. It just would have been more stress. You would have felt awkward about my wallet's out there in the wild. Who's having sex with my wallet? Ooh, that's gross. Who's touching my wallet? Who's rifling through it? Who's scheming, perhaps, to sell my information on the dark web? But I got it back. And I was so happy. I'm telling you, I wanted to jump for joy. I felt like I should have tipped the guy $20. I was going to go, here, this is the only, he's like, I think everything is in it. And I said, I don't care. I'm just glad to have it back. And the $20 was in there. That's all I was carrying. I felt like giving him a tip, say thank you. But I don't know. Karma shiny, should I have done that? Or was that not needed? Was him holding the wallet and keeping it behind the counter the minimum of what needed to be done? Now, I should have asked specifically, where was it found? Was it found in the pro shop sitting on a ledge somewhere as I picked up a club to waggle it while I was waiting to pay for my shirt? Or did somebody in the parking lot go, hey, some dum-dum dropped his wallet? Would be good to know, because if it was in the parking lot, then the shorts got to go. Those Jordan shorts got to go. They probably have to go anyway, just because, you know, they've already been involved in two high-profile incidents that have gone very poorly for me. So, yeah. And no, Brian Fiat, I'm not ashamed to wear Jordan brand athletic shorts. He was busted on me on the text chat going, I don't think that's the demo market. You know, Jordan brand for you. Like, I'm not claiming I'm like some baller. They're just athletic shorts. What are you gonna do? They're gonna be either Jordan brand or And1 or Adidas or Under Armour or Steph Curry. I mean, come on. Anyway, the wallet is back. Lesson has been learned, I think. I might go to a metal wallet that's RFID protected that has somehow an Apple AirTag built into it or a slot to put it. That way, if it does fall out of my pocket, getting out of a car, it'll go clank, clank, clank on the ground. You'll probably hear a metal wallet falling out of your pocket easier. And it'll have that Apple AirTag. So, lesson learned. No more. Before I get going with Andy, got a comment on a story on CBSSports.com about a possible Giannis Antetokounmpo trade to the Toronto Raptors. Now, first of all, Giannis has not demanded a trade. A lot of people don't think he is going to demand a trade. And unless he really presses hard for it, the Bucks in a million years are not going to trade Giannis. But people have to try to size up what would possibly work. So this Toronto trade, which CBS Sports wrote about, and I'm not sure who the writer was so laughable. I just was reading it going, do you even hear yourself typing? Do you understand how dumb it is, what you're saying? They basically said the centerpiece of the trade was going to be RJ Barrett in exchange for Giannis, plus some throw-ins, like Grady Dick, and this other guy I've never heard of, Ogbai Ochabi, or something like that. And draft picks. Oh, yeah, including this year's 9th overall draft pick. Oh, the 9th overall. Holy cow. What a great deal. Why do writers even bother writing such dreck? That is not a viable trade. They talked about how Scotty Barnes is off the market for Toronto because he's one of the two young pieces they're going to build around. Even him doesn't even come close to matching what Giannis Antetokounmpo would bring. And the more they got into the trade, the more that the guy described it, the writer began to say, well, this would leave Toronto pretty gutted and very thin and not very much better, all things considered, in terms of being a contender. Well, no shit. Pretty much any team that wants Giannis needs to be told by John Horst, GM of the Bucks, oh, you can get Giannis. But guess what? What we have now, which is Giannis and a bunch of aging and mediocre players and no draft picks, that's going to be you. You'll have Giannis and you'll have the team we have now. You will have no good young players around him and you'll have no draft picks for the future. That's what it's going to cost to get Giannis. That's what I would tell him. And I think Giannis might understand this as well. He might understand that, hey, I can demand a trade and they can trade me, but they're going to absolutely bleed to death whatever team decides to go and acquire me, that I'm just going to have the same frustratingly not good enough team in a different city. Getting new schools for my kids, new babysitters, new daycare, learning where to go around town, figuring out who to trust, who not to trust, dinner reservations, places I can go hang out and not be bothered. See, all these things matter to a star player, and to change those out, if you're cut from the type of cloth that Giannis is, it's not easy to do. So just some thought there. I guess it's June. The NBA Finals have yet to begin. You got to fill the space, right? The websites need updates. There's got to be page views and clicks. And hell, I'm talking about it. So I guess that's a win for the writer. But let me just summarize that potential trade of R.J. Barrett, Grady Dick, and the Akai Bowl that is the third guy. Fuck no. Goodbye. See you later. Talk to the hand.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at my bookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code ZABE, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag. I know exactly how it feels to look in the mirror and notice, hey, my hairline is playing defense right now and it's not winning. The forehead keeps on advancing. But who has time to deal with hours and hours of doctor's appointments to try to win the battle? That's where Hims comes in. They've changed the game. Hims provides convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments at work, all from the comfort of your couch. No need to take time off of work. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. The best part is the process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. And here's another win. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/zabe. That's hims.com/zabe for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/zabe. Prescription products require an online consultation with healthcare providers who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. You know, one of the things I love most about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. If you are overwhelmed by the hiring process, or you've been struggling to get your job posts seen, Listen up. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. Your post jumps right to the top of the page for relevant candidates, so you reach exactly who you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, according to Indeed data. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this podcast will get $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the podcast by saying you heard about it right here on this pod. Indeed.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free Blackstone 8-piece accessory kit when you buy a Blackstone 28-inch griddle. Plus, get two free select Craftsman V20 tools when you buy an RP brushless drill and impact driver combo kit. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
Hello?
My man, I'm calling you a bit early. Is that all right?
That's fine.
All right, good. Watching the Nats here. All right, very good. Yeah, how are the Nats doing, Andy?
They're scoreless in the bottom of the first.
Okay. But overall, though, how are you pleased?
Nice. They're coming off a 4-2 road trip, and now they're starting this series with the Cubs.
How about this kid?
They're 3 under .500.
This kid, James Wood, is an absolute unit, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, we will possibly, you know, 3 or 4 years down the road, debate who would you rather have, salaries aside, James Wood or Juan Soto.
Oh, okay. I thought you were about to say Shohei Ohtani, and I was about to hit you with another classic, slow your roll, Andy Pauly.
Well, actually, Soto makes more money than Ohtani. So,
is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Because
total
he did...
money. I don't know how it breaks down per year, but Ohtani got 700 and Soto got 756.
Still ridiculous that Soto or that Ohtani's interpreter took the entire fall for a massive gambling scandal that obviously was Ohtani himself. Like Pete Rose times 100, and baseball just said, nope, we can't afford to do this. Sweep it under the rug.
Well, what did Chris Carter say?
Fall
Get
guy.
Yourself a fall guy.
And let me tell you, the Japanese culture of honor and sort of taking one for the team. I mean, he's in prison. It's club fed, and it's not that big of a sentence. But still, he went to jail for Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that kind of money disappears from your checking account and you don't notice.
No, and it's also hard not to imagine that there'll be a lot of money flowing back into Ipe Mizuhara's accounts under the radar once he's out of the clink, right?
I would think so. Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, you are looking live, Andy, plausibly live, as I'm at our condo here in Lake Tahoe, California. We're on the California side. And we are,
right.
I am overlooking, we're outside right now. Don't know if you can hear the wind or not blowing, but I'm overlooking the tennis courts. Question. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6, depending on how you count it. One tennis court has been converted to 2 pickleball courts, which are the only courts I've seen used during our stay this week. What possessed anybody to overbuild tennis courts like they did in the 1970s? I ask you, a man of my similar age and demographic.
Well, I will tell you this. If you mentioned the decade of the 70s, it did make sense then because
tennis was booming, right?
Yeah. I played a lot of tennis in those days. I remember long waits to get on the courts. I lived half a block away from the tennis courts. Now, we didn't have a garage, so I'll give you that. But yes, I had a privileged life in Chevy Chase, and we lived half a block from a swimming pool and tennis courts, and there were two of them, and there were always fights because you would sign up for an hour, and if your match was going longer, hey, you know, I got to get on the court because somebody's following me, and I'm not going to have enough time. I mean, it was like that, and even the public courts on the weekends, it was tough to get on them. Now it's a ghost land.
Wow, you lived in a house growing up without a garage. Did you at least have a carport?
No, we had a rough it.
Where did you did you have a driveway?
We did have a driveway. Okay. Yes, we did.
So you parked in the driveway when it snowed. You had to go out. Old man Poland had to go out there and grumble and mumble and shovel off the snow.
Well, my father was a trooper. Maybe I've told you this story. My sister was born in the blizzard of 1966. And it was so bad that they were helicoptering in nurses to Holy Cross Hospital.
What?
They had one visitor, Al Poland, who drove his Plymouth Fury with the snow tires that were put on at Sears, and he somehow made it. I don't know how.
That is fantastic right there. So, yeah, so I guess tennis was so hot. And I do vaguely remember back when I was 10 years old and idolizing the likes of John McEnroe and Roscoe Tanner and Bjorn Borg and Jimmy Connors and Vitas Gerulaitis and the likes. I seem to recall more people playing tennis. But nowadays, you go by any high school, any rec center, any resort, and the first thing if you notice it is, yep, way too many tennis courts and ain't nobody using them.
And in Manhattan, they had these tennis bubbles where you had to pay exorbitant amounts of money to play. And
through
and
the winter,
did.
Right, to play through the winter in bad weather,
Right. And they don't anymore. I don't know.
So is tennis going to make a comeback?
I don't think so.
Not with pickleball, right? Pickleball has taken whatever racket sport juice there was out there to be squeezed. And has pretty much stolen all of it.
Well, there's no running involved, and golf, you know,
limited
took
running
away a lot of,
so
golf
you think,
took away a
you
lot.
Think
of
golf hurt tennis?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. Sure.
Tennis is so much cheaper though.
I mean, you buy buy
a $40 racket, get a new canister of brand new Wilson tennis balls where you.
Love the smell, too, don't you? Smell
oh, yes, exactly. The polyurethane and the yellow fuzz, and they bounced real good right away. They would eventually lose their bounce. I mean, you could play tennis on the cheap. And now, with the courts being wide open, I mean, I don't know why people don't try it. You know, there is more running, but you don't have to run that much.
You know what else was a changer too, which didn't seem to really, you know, get a lot of other people, but I got, and I still have, I got for my bar mitzvah, a T2000 racket, which had a hitting surface the size of a teacup saucer.
Right. That was a steel, that was a steel framed racket that looked kind of bare bones, but it was what Connors used, correct?
Right. A lot of power in it, but the hitting surface was so small that you really had to, you know, have great aim there. And sometimes it would get caught in like that throat of the racket, you know,
right,
like where the, so it was
God,
not really.
I'm looking at it right now. Vintage T2000 steel tennis racket, Jimmy Connors, metal frame, just two wires with a gap in between the two wires that then went up to the head of the racket.
Right.
And
Mm-hmm.
20 get on eBay, by the way, for $29.95. You want me to get you one?
No, I have one. I just haven't used it in 40 years. Yeah.
Well, let's get it restrung. Let's get it restrung. Let's go get some gut strings. Did you play with gut strings?
No, I wasn't that good.
Actually,
my son became a pretty good tennis player.
Right.
And as you well know, he was awfully
good at
ping pong. And still is. Yeah.
Yes, he was. And is. Cat gut was supposedly superior in terms of its response and shot making ability, cut shots, lobs and the sort, but it was made out of literally cat gut. It was a natural string fiber that was very prone to breaking if you got the tennis racket wet.
But it was only for the richer kids that had gut strings on their rackets. The rest of us chumps had simple nylon.
Well, you had to convince your parents that, you know, you were going to play on the tour to get your racket strong with guts. So, yeah.
Well, anyway, it's just funny. These courts, you know, they also require maintenance. And they have to be resurfaced after a number of years because they buckle and they crack. And I'm just sitting here. I'm overlooking these tennis courts, and I'm thinking, nobody's playing. It's unbelievable. Of course, apparently summer here in Lake Tahoe, according to those we've talked to, doesn't really get going until July 4th.
Oh, really?
So we're here like a month ahead of time. This is almost pre-summer for them.
Are you there for the celebrity golf tournament?
Is that no, what you're doing? I wish that I was. We were down in South Shore today. Because we took a boat cruise to Emerald Bay, which is one of the top attractions on the south side of Lake Tahoe. And I didn't get to see where the golf course was, Edgewood, but I saw the casinos. And I would love to come for that event. I would love to have been famous enough in media, Andy, to be invited to play in the event. But the stars did not quite align for me, did they?
No, no. Although there's a lot of pressure, I believe. Mike Wilbon played in it like 15 years ago.
Did he really?
And came up DFL. I don't know what his score was, but
shot a million, huh?
It wasn't good. No.
Yeah. Oh well. So anyway, I'm out here in Lake Tahoe, and I'm keeping a loose tab on all the things that are going on in sports. Checking my phone. We're waiting to get our food served. And by the way, I've officially got restaurant fatigue, Andy.
You do?
Yes. Oh, we've been eating out.
Tough.
Well, listen. Okay. I know. 1% are problem. It's also bleeding me dry. I mean, the cost, it's every for a family of four, eating out, 100, 150 a meal every time. Easy.
Oh, yeah.
Without even doing appetizers or desserts. But no, I'm just fatigued by the whole dance. You wait a little bit in line to go get seated. Not very long, but it's a little bit of wait. Then you go to sit down. Then you wait for the first person to bring you water. And then you wait for your server. Would you like some drinks? Okay, then you wait for them to bring you the drinks. And then they come back and they say, okay, are you ready to order? And then you wait for your food. And then after you're done, if like me today, I'm just like, I got to get home. We've been down here, drove an hour to South Shore, 2 hours on the boat, hour at the restaurant. We're done. We want our check. Our waitress, I can see her from across the patio, which is only half full because like I said, summer doesn't get going until later on. She's there chatting it up with a young couple with no kids. Well, isn't life grand? Young couple with no kids. And I'm staring, I'm trying to stare laser beams through the back of her head to get her to notice us and come give us a bill, box up our leftovers, and wrap it up. 1 minute goes by. 2 minutes goes by. 3 minutes goes by, and she's just chatting them up. And I'm getting more and more angry. She finally turns away and then goes to the table right next to them and repeats the process. I was literally about to jump up and go get right in her face and go, we need to leave.
Can I make a suggestion since you mentioned the word condo early in the conversation?
Eat at the condo?
Yeah. Don't you have tables there? Why wouldn't you just get the food to go?
We could. Although this was an hour away. My point is that there is fatigue waiting for every little step of the eating out process.
Right. Well, I mean, when you're with your family, it's a little different than dining. Family is more or less eating. Whereas if you go with a friend.
You're socializing with other people. Right.
Yeah. Then it's dining.
Well, true. And if you're socializing with other people, it's usually once a week. You're not meant to go to restaurants where you have to pay some server a tip twice a day for a week straight. You will get restaurant fatigue if you do that. I know somebody out there is going to email me saying, you're right on, Zabe. That's exactly how I feel. It's too much. It's too much. I also should have done the power move, which is as soon as she checked on us, like, how's your meal going, and we're mid-bite, I should have said without any shame, everything is great. Send me the bill right now and a couple of boxes so we get that out of the way right away.
Yeah, you could do that. Why are you dining out for lunch as well? Why can't you just get some sandwiches or something like that?
I mean, come on. You asked that question.
It seems excessive twice a day. That's just me.
Well, you know, standards must be met, Andy. Expectations are high. Under the canopy of financial security known as El Baldo, right. You know.
You see these things like on Facebook. I grew up in a family of 12. When we traveled, Mom brought a loaf of bread and a box of bologna, and we stopped on the side of the road. You know?
Yeah. Well, or like, you're right. You know. It would have been a bit much to say, okay, kids, we're not going to eat at this nice restaurant on the dock right near the water after our two-hour boat ride. We're going to go back to the condo and have peanut butter and jelly.
Right, right. Well, if you have a large family and a lower income and not, you know, vacationing in Lake Tahoe,
I know.
That might be, you know, you've heard of families, you need to go to McDonald's, you can order a hamburger, but not a cheeseburger. That's an extra benefit. I can't afford the extra 15 cents for the cheese. You know?
Exactly. Anyway.
You know, or the dads that say, we're not going out for ice cream. We got ice cream in the freezer.
You know? Luckily, my wife realized I was about to give this server a $0 tip. With a note of this was unacceptable, because I do believe it was. Look, it's fine if you want to chat up a new table, but you better be on your game minding your other customers and not just leaving us abandoned when we want to leave, you know? Everyone is not there like a kidless couple. La, 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 let's take our time to eat. We've got nowhere to be and nothing to do. No. Do you see my two children with me? Let's wrap it up.
She's got to read the group. But she's also schmoozing up a childless couple to get a bigger tip. So she's working it.
And I think a one-minute chat is fine. Three-minute chat followed by another three-minute chat, unacceptable. But whatever. So my wife sent me to go get the car because she realized I was about to give her a zilch, and that would have gone over poorly. So anyway, here we are. Let's get to the sports, shall we? Yes. Tibbs has been canned. Mm-hmm. What are the New York Knickerbockers, or more specifically, what is James Dolan doing?
James Dolan is doing Dolan. This is what Dolan does. It's like, you know, when you get attacked by a tiger. Oh, the tiger went nuts. No, the tiger went tiger. And this is with Dan Snyder out of professional sports. He's the leader in the clubhouse right now, wouldn't you say?
Best season in 25 years. Tried to get as much out of Carl Anthony Towns as he could. He's a frustratingly inconsistent potential superstar, Cat is. And Cat has now gotten him fired twice, basically, Tibbs, which is ironic there. But still, so Dolan said in March, according to Front Office Sports, quote, he wouldn't be as impulsive as he once was. There were times when I sort of reached for that shiny, sparkly object, he said. That doesn't work, unquote. Well, now Tibbs has been fired after leading the team the best year in 25 years, best season in 25 years, and they don't really have anyone waiting to come take over. There's names being thrown around, but this is a absolute panic move.
Well, and also, it's not just the Knicks job, it's the Knicks job working for Dolan. And, you know, most guys go, well, I can handle him, and Tibbs did for 5 years.
Yeah,
but it always comes to an end.
And he just got an extension. And so $30 million is coming to Tibbs if he were to go plant his toes on a beach somewhere and do nothing, which he probably won't because he still wants to coach. So give it a year off maybe. But the NBA burns money, Andy, in a giant pit. It's boggling. Yeah. Boggles the mind, as our friend Ken Beatrice would have said.
It does, but I don't know enough about money, but I know with ESPN, they do the same thing. They sign these people to big contracts and then long-term too, and then they fire them and they pay it off. It just doesn't go on the line that the stockholders see.
I guess
again, I don't understand how it works, but I think that's the same principle there.
I guess when you're Dolan, when you're a billionaire and you own the New York Knicks and – does he own Madison Square Garden, or is that the city?
Yeah, I don't think he owns that.
I'm not sure about that. But he also owns the Sphere in Vegas, which may not be making money per se, but I think it's going to be a factor. So $30 million to him, I guess, doesn't matter. And there'll be some offset language if Tibbs lands elsewhere. But it's just like there's no sensitivity to, holy shit, we're flushing $30 million for a coach who's not coaching.
Right. Well, they realize that when they sign these contracts. You know, if they were fearful of, oh, my God, we may have to pay it off if we fire him in a year. Now, the one who does that is Ted Leonsis. You never see him fire anybody with time left on their contract, significant time.
Right.
You know?
Hasn't he also run coaches to the end of their contract?
Yeah. Yeah. He does that on a fairly regular basis. Oh. And, you know,
That's one thing I respect Ted for. How about that?
I guess, but how many championships has it produced? One with the Capitals. One, and that coach who was due to get a $300,000 raise, he got rid of him because he didn't want to pay, you know. I mean, it was kind of ridiculous to give him a $300,000 raise after he just won the Cup.
Right.
And so he let him walk, and you know, and he hired a coach, which he often did with the Capitals, who didn't have previous head coaching experience. And they went out in the first round the next 2 years.
Ted is an insufferable douche, personality-wise, but he's not a terrible owner. I think he's in the middle of the pack solidly, if not in the top half of the middle of the pack, if you were to rank all owners. I don't think he's a bad owner. Yeah. Do you?
Well, I mean, he's been a failure with the Wizards, and his
true,
I'm the smartest person in the room thing has bitten him in the behind big time when he gave Bradley Beal a contract with no trade, in the league.
Right.
No, because he said he wanted to have a partnership with him.
With Bradley.
Stability. So, you know, it's like he thought he had re-signed Michael Jordan, so everybody would come running to play with the great Bradley Beal because you had certainty with a no-trade clause. And people went, no, Beal's not that good.
Yeah. He's done poorly with the Wizards. So has your cousin. Just saying.
He did, obviously. But he did do something that Ted hasn't done with him, and that's win a championship.
Yes, back when future Senators were playing in the league. I can assure you there's no future. There are no future Senators in today's NBA.
here we go. Bill Bradley bashing. Okay.
Also, didn't Tom McMillan, was he a congressman? I think he was a congressman, not a senator.
Yeah, and he played briefly for the Bullets.
Yeah,
in fact.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I guess it the whole thing with Tibbs goes to point out that you can never in sports escape as a fan a bad owner. Bad owners are forever. Bad owners wipe out any momentum or good luck that your team may get in terms of a draft pick who's way better than everyone would have thought, right? Bad owners are the worst thing if you're a fan.
I was watching a podcast that was co-hosted by Alex Rodriguez called The Deal, and they had Josh Harris on, the owner of the Commanders, as well as the 76ers and the Devils.
I'm glad that's why you're watching it, because I'm thinking to myself, why is Andy watching A-Rod's podcast?
I was interested.
Was it good, though?
Josh Harris, he's done several news conferences. He's not a great public speaker. He's done a number of interviews, but he was very comfortable in this environment because the co-host is a former Bloomberg reporter. So speaking money, he's fairly comfortable doing that. But he said one thing. He said, you can't make a good deal with a bad person. And, you know, he didn't name Dan Snyder, but, you know, everybody listening knows, yes, we saw what happened with that.
But he figured out a way to get a deal done with Snyder to take the team.
Right. But I mean, I think he was.
Do you think he overpaid?
No, because you watch this. The Bears are going to be sold because the McCaskey family is not going to be able to pay the taxes on it. You know, after that's what I'm told.
When the old lady dies.
Right. Well, she did. Virginia died recently. She was 102. My cousin, a 40-year season ticket holder, says the team will be sold. And if the Commanders went for six 2 years ago, and 2 years before that, the Broncos went for four, don't you think it's conceivable the Bears go for 8?
Yes, 1,000% for a couple reasons. One, there's a low bar in the last 30 years of success, so there's a lot of upside, kind of like the Commanders. Secondly, they're going to build a new stadium, probably out in Arlington Park. It's not going to tickle the traditionalists that like the memories of the Fog Bowl or the wind blowing off of Lake Michigan, but in today's NFL, you need the new place with all the bells and whistles. And it's Chicago. It's a massive market. It's market number 3. So, yeah, right. $8 billion sounds about right to me.
And the media rights are going to double when they reopen the contract in 2029.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's interesting. Cut 3 today. What are the Steelers doing exactly at quarterback?
I have no idea.
It is June 3rd. Teams are having their mini camps or their voluntary mini camps. Some mandatories coming up in a week, I believe. And they don't have a quarterback, unless you count Mason Rudolph as your QB1 for week one, which seems insane. And this is after they went out and spent big money on the guy from Seattle, the wide receiver, whose name's escaping me at the moment. And then they trade George Pickens because they were sick of his ass. And Rodgers is just kind of lingering as a sort of a, do you smell that? Like, is he going to come play kind of thing?
Yeah, I don't know why they're doing this for a guy who, okay, hasn't looked terrible, but how many wins has he produced recently? Not many.
DK Metcalf is the wide receiver. I don't know why I had a frozen brain there. Yeah, so if you're the Steelers or if you were a Steeler fan, would you even want Rodgers to play for you at this point?
I don't think so. If I were the Steelers, used to success, no, but I think that if he wants to play, they're going to let him play, and Dan Rooney or Art Rooney has indicated that that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, he'll be better than Mason Rudolph the moment he picks up a playbook and doesn't even know it.
But are they a Super Bowl team with him?
No. No, they are not.
What's
the point? The juice worth, right.
I like the Terry Bradshaw remark. Let him eat bark.
Did he really say that?
Oh, you didn't hear this? Yes.
No.
He was on look this up on YouTube. This is funny. He was on a radio show in Arkansas, and it wasn't a phoner either. He was there, and it looked like a remote somewhere. He's got the headset on and everything, and they start talking about him, and he goes, yeah, he says, you know, just let him eat bark.
Oh, yeah, go chew on bark. I'm looking at it right now. Oh, my God. Right. You know who did eat bark?
Who's that?
The Donner Party.
Oh, right. No, they ate people.
They ate people, but they also ate bark. So we went to the Donner Museum in the Donner Pass. Yeah, yeah, it's just a little museum.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't far away, and I was like, this story fascinates me and horrifies me, so let me go see the museum with some artifacts. Donner Party, settlers in the 1840s, I guess, making their way from, like, Springfield, Missouri, were told of this shortcut through the West, through, like, a chunk of Utah, that somebody said, hey, this is a better way to go.
Yep.
Others in the party were like, look, don't stray from the established wagon wheel tracks of other settlers who had gone West. And they're like, but it would shave 300 miles. And so they took it. And it was a disaster.
Right.
And they got bogged down. And they were late getting across the Sierra Mountains. And by the time they got to the Sierra Mountains, it was November. And normally they could have squeaked across, but winter came early and came hard. And it snowed in biblical proportions. And their party resorted to eating what was left of their dead fellow settlers, including a couple they murdered. There was a couple of like Chinese helpers that they apparently murdered and then ate them. But they with their own, they only ate them after they died of starvation and hypothermia, which is grim enough. But in the journals that they left, they talked about how they would put bark in their mouth and hope that it would soften and become somehow edible to fill their empty stomachs as they dreamed of a day of that bark being meat of some kind.
Yeah, there was a documentary that was done maybe on PBS. I saw it about 20 years ago.
Incredible, isn't it? One of the most gripping things, given that there's no footage, No real photos, just narration of letters and notes taken from those who survived.
But pre-Waze, how many times did somebody tell you?
Recalculating.
If you just cut across there, you're going to be, and you wind up, and now it doesn't result in the horrific outcome for the Donner Party. But that happened plenty of times to me over the years.
Yeah, really, really bad. And they had no Gore-Tex either. They said they were simple settlers, didn't have a lot of money, and they had no good elements to survive a blizzard that would not relent for months and months and months. Well, we'll see if Rodgers is eating bark or if he's going to play or not. I think it's wild that they are this deep into the summer already. Still no public plan as to what they're doing.
And it's so un-Steeler-like, too. Like, there are a number of teams that you go, yeah, like if Carolina was doing this, you'd go, yeah, that makes sense. But yeah. Pittsburgh? No.
Yeah, yeah. All right, finally, rest in peace, James Marshall, former Minnesota Viking, the original Iron Man before Favre broke his record. Jim Marshall played in 282 consecutive games at defensive end, which is mind-boggling.
He is the victim of one play. 20 years in the NFL, he played 1 year with the Browns, and then when the Vikings became an expansion team, he went there in 61 and played another 19 years. Never missed a game, as you say, but in a game against the San Francisco 49ers in 1964 with George Myra, the quarterback, and Billy Kilmer, the running back.
Oh, what? Billy Kilmer was a running back.
Running back, yes. And Myra threw a pass or something, and it was a fumble, and it was picked up by Marshall, who took it the wrong way. And fortunately for Marshall, he threw it away. Otherwise, it would have been recovered in the end zone for a touchdown. But he threw it away for a safety, and the Vikings went on to win the game. But that is what stains his whole career because, you know, Alan Page is in. He was a great player too with the Vikings.
Alan
on that
Page, who turned
run.
Into a state Supreme Court justice, Alan
right.
Page.
Yeah, but he got in the Hall of Fame for his playing.
I know,
and I'm not saying Marshall was necessarily as good as he was, but I think should have gotten consideration for the Hall of Fame. Did not get it, and sadly went to his grave without it being in. Too bad.
He ran for a good long spell there to go the wrong way. For the touchdown. How many yards was it? Do you remember?
I think it was maybe 60 yards, and there were teammates running alongside him.
Trying
saying,
to tell
go
him,
back.
You're going go the wrong way.
And he was thinking they were cheering him on. And I guess if somebody would have been fast enough, they would have tackled him because they didn't want him to go into the end zone.
I mean, that has to be the biggest gaffe in sports history.
Probably so.
Because every other gaffe has other similar gaffes. There's never been another wrong way touchdown ever.
Not in the NFL, but there was one in college. Roy Riegels. I think he did it in the Rose Bowl, as a matter of fact.
Really? Roy Riegels?
Yeah, wrong way Riegels. You never heard that?
I did not hear that.
Yeah. One other name I should throw in, and your Packer listeners, older ones, will remember this. There was a tackle by the name of Steve Wright. And Steve Wright played on the first two Super Bowl teams with the Packers, and then he went to the New York Giants, where he posed for the what is now given out as the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. It was just when it was first given out, Man of the Year, and it's a football player with like a cape, and you see like a bronze
giant
statue of that.
Winter overcoat that they would wear on the sidelines.
Right, and so he was the model for that.
Was he really?
And then
now, when you say model, they didn't call him in and say, okay, I want you to pose for this.
No.
They took a picture of him on the sideline and said, we're going to make that image a statue or a trophy.
Right. Right. But it was a bronze statue of him on the sidelines. But here's the last footnote on that. When Lombardi went to the Redskins in 1969, he didn't get right away because he was with the Giants, but he got him for the 1970 season. Unfortunately, Lombardi died of cancer before that season. But Wright played for the Redskins in 1970. In 1971, when George Allen came in, he traded him to the Bears, and they asked him what he would miss most about Washington and famously said, Central Liquors. So rest in peace, Steve Wright. In peace,
indeed. Oh, boy. A healthy Lombardi without cancer and a Sonny Jurgensen in his prime without stepping into a giant hole and blowing out his Achilles could have been the most lethal combination the league had seen in the 1960s.
Yeah, I mean, Sonny was in his mid to late 30s, but Lombardi died. It's amazing. Lombardi died at the age of 57. God. That's just, yeah, that's just, and it was colon cancer, and I don't know whether they did colonoscopies in those days or not. But
I don't think it was as curable as it is now.
Yeah, or preventable.
Or
yeah,
preventable.
You know, because of,
yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
All right, Andy, a pleasure as always. Thank you for taking time, and I am coming back east tomorrow, and I will wish Tahoe farewell. It's beautiful out here. It's expensive out here, and I'm going to eat at home for a good long while.
Okay.
I'm going to eat at home.
Maybe you can win back all your restaurant losses at the casino.
I'm not even going to try because I know that's going to just double it.
Okay.
All right,
best
Andy.
Of luck.
We'll talk to you next week. Soon. Thank you.
When the day that lies ahead of me seems impossible to face.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at my bookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code ZABE, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag.